Verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Verse 12. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Verse 13. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. And part of verse 14 says, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. Now I just want to stop right there. I became a Christian, actually born again by the Spirit of God. This was the verse, this was the scripture that God spoke to me. The very first scripture God ever spoke to me, and I can say God really spoke to me, this verse. And I didn't understand exactly how powerful this verse would be in my whole entire life, these verses. And I didn't understand the relevancy. I didn't understand the impact. And really and truly, I didn't understand really what he's even really saying to me totally here. But I'm going to break this down for you because this is something in stages. Do you know when, if you ever watched under a microscope or under a light, how a baby chick is formed in the egg? It's kind of neat. You can see the of the embryo and how then it, and that would be in the, any creature, how it develops and changes and it becomes a, it goes from this little funny looking thing like a worm, and the next thing you know, it starts growing legs and a tail and eyes, and then it starts becoming, then it comes out a little bird with feathers and it's yellow. You know, how did that all happen? And there is a process that takes place. And that is the truth in the things of the human spirit too, because we get born again and we don't come fully created, recreated. I mean, our spirit man gets born again and we're new creatures. But as far as becoming and being what God has called us to become and to be and to live in the fullness that he has for us, it takes time and to develop that. So I want to show you some process here in this verses. Verse 11, God is saying, okay, this is the first step. God is letting you know something. God is coming along and he's saying, hello, how are you? I know you've never met me before. I know you do not know me, but my name is God. And I want to get to know you. And I want you to know that you can trust me because I never think anything but good things about you. I'm a very good God. And I'd really like for you to get to know me. And so God comes along and introduces himself to us. And we look at God and we say, okay, I think I'll give you a try. I'll give you a try here and see how that works out. And then he says, but you got to know this. And so God imparts this knowing into a believer's heart and mind that he is a good God and that he has nothing but good thoughts about that person. And so that little person who's just got born again looks up to God and says, really? Really? You think good things about me? I mean, you actually think about me? You mean the God that is so busy running all the universes, the trillions and zillions of universes out there, and all the stars and all the solar systems and all the planetary systems, you are thinking about me? Me? And you begin to think about that, and you start going around thinking, God's thinking about me. God's thinking. He's literally thinking about me, this little tiny grain of nothing, itty bitty speck in the universe. He is thinking about me. He is. And then he even tells me what he's thinking as he's thinking about me. He's thinking good things. He's thinking great, spectacular, awesome things because God's got that kind of mind. God thinks awesome, awesome, spectacular, off of the chart, out of this world thoughts about you and me. He's got awesome plans in his mind about you and me. He is not limited to anything, by the way. So his thinking is not limited either. So God is thinking, and he's bringing this revelation to you for the first time, right? And you realize God is thinking about me. God is literally thinking about me. Then he goes a step further and he says, now I'm just not thinking just any old thing. I'm just thinking any old way. I have got spectacular, awesome thoughts about you. And he says, now let me tell you about these thoughts. They're thoughts of how I can get you into divine peace, my kind of peace. I'm thinking about how can I maneuver your life and bring you into a place where you feel secure and safe. Because when you feel secure and you feel safe, then peace is there. I mean, right there. Oh, anybody can say yes, amen. Amen. Yes, amen. When you feel like there's plenty of money and there's plenty of warmth, you have to worry about going hungry and you got plenty of cars and you don't have to worry about going from A to B, or you don't have to worry about anything. No worry and peace. Do y'all agree?
Yeah.
There's a place where there's called peace. In fact, there's a scripture that says perfect peace. There's something called perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. He said, I will bring you into perfect peace is what his goal is. So God is thinking something divinely in his mind about me, and it's called perfect peace. And we have yet to experience it, really. I'm moving in that direction, though, believe me. Like, God's got the line, he's got the hook, and he's got the sinker, and he's got a hook in my jaw, and he's reeling me into this thing called peace. And I'm going in that direction. Oh, God, I want it.
Amen.
I want this peace that you're thinking about, that you're planning. See, he says, I got plans for this to happen for you.
Amen.
Not just when I go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking now. The here and now is where I need it. Right here now is where I'm going to need all the peace I can get. But it's in the mind of God already how to get it to me. And then he says, now remember, he's thinking this, and he's letting you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my thoughts have zero evil in them. Zero, absolute, no evil whatsoever in my thinking about you. None. It's completely void of evil. And you got to know that now. That's real important, by the way. Because there's going to be a devil come along and whisper in your ear and say, you know, God made this. There's going to be a devil come along and say, you know, God really doesn't want you to be blessed.
Mm-hmm.
And God really wants you to pay for that, what you did.
Mm-hmm.
Remember what you did? He wants you to pay for that. That's what he's really planning. He's planning on how to get even with you.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm telling you, the devil will tell you, but God is letting you know straight up, right off the bat, I don't think evil. I don't think, plan, pursue evil, period. Just established in that. No matter what the devil, it'll help you if you'll believe this. If you'll really believe this, what I'm sharing this morning, it'll help you in your walk with God. It'll help you in your pursuit of this thing called peace that God says, I've got for you. And he said, I've got this plan for you. And I do not need to use evil to get it to happen. I don't need to use any kind of evil whatsoever for this to happen for you. He doesn't use evil. He don't need the devil's help at all. So, let's just establish this now. God has introduced himself to us today. And he's saying, now I'm thinking some good things about you personally. And I've got nothing but good thoughts about you. And I've got thoughts of peace, perfect peace. And do not expect it to involve evil, okay, to get it there. To get you there, you don't have to worry about the ride because I got you covered. And then he says, the reason is so he can give you a future. A future, a good plan, a good future. Now, everybody thinks about the future, right? Everybody's got hopes of a better tomorrow, right? Sit there. I've been through a lot of things. A lot of things. And the thing about the whole end of the journey is I expect to have something called peace in my life. And if I settle for anything less than peace, I'm forfeiting the plan of God. Purposely sabotaging something called peace that God has for me. And you know, people sabotage the plans of God all the time. People sabotage the plans that God has for them all the time. You can get into a marriage. You can get into a marriage and be in a relationship that just looks wonderful. But I'm going to tell you something. People will sabotage that marriage. They will cause problems to happen that really shouldn't happen. And that's the truth of it. People do not, they're not comfortable when they get into a place called peace. They're not comfortable. They get there and they find themselves feeling very strange in this place of peace. Because they've lived so many, many years in trouble. They've lived so many, many years in torment and turmoil and drama. And they are so accustomed to there being some other activity going on. Surely, something else is getting ready to happen. Any minute now, I know something else is coming. And they'll get themselves all worked up before it even happens. And it's they start imagining bad things happening. They start imagining that this is going to take place or that's going to take place. And surely to goodness, God really didn't mean peace for me. Surely he didn't mean peace for me. But see, you have to understand, God means what he says and he says what he means, and his plan is to give you peace. But we will sabotage that peace almost every time if we do not believe and want peace in our lives. Because we will find a way to mess it up. We will find a way to change it all around. Because people get into something called a victim mentality. They are a victim because they were a victim. And then they see themselves as a victim from then on. They've been mistreated. They've been abused. I can tell you what, I don't know if anybody got a better story than I got of being a victim and being mistreated and being abused. I don't know if anybody can out-talk me, but I had to overcome me. I had to overcome something called the victim mentality. And it was always there in my mind. Well, if they really loved me, they would have done this. If they really cared, they would have done this. If they would have done this, they would have done that. If I was really important. And they get their whole world centered around this thing about themselves. And God is saying, I'm still thinking up here. I'm still thinking about you. I'm still thinking something called peace. I'm still thinking about how to get you into this place called peace. If you can just stop thinking about your little old poor little self all the time and start thinking what I'm thinking and start talking like I'm talking and start walking in what I'm telling you to walk in, then you're going to find something called peace. And it's going to be forever. You're going to start something called forever peace. It's a journey. This is a journey now, by the way, because God's an eternal God. But if you want to sit around and feel sorry for yourself, if you want to sit around and sabotage every good thing that God wants to bring into your life, go ahead and do that. And the devil will be there to accommodate you 100%. Are you ready to move into the next thing here? Thank you, Jesus. Verse 12 says, okay, now that you've woke up, you're awake now. I got your attention, right? God is saying, you now know that I've got something called peace for you. And I'm not going to use the devil to get you this peace. Now that I've got your attention, now that you know this, look what's going to happen. When you really, really believe this, look at this verse 12. God says, I'm so sure that once you find out about this, that you're going to do verse 12. So God makes the statement ahead of time. By faith, God is talking. See, he's a faith God. And then he says, okay, now that you found out that I have nothing but good for you and peace for you, then shall you call on me. God is so sure that once you find out his plans are so great and so awesome, he's sure you're going to call on him and you're going to seek him. He's positive of that because then he says that's what you're going to do. If he wasn't so sure, he wouldn't have said that. If he wasn't so sure that you will think, oh, this is God's better than cocaine, buddy. I'm going to seek God. God is better than a joint. I'm going to seek God. God is better than any high I ever had. I'm going to seek God. Then you will call upon me. You won't call upon the drugs anymore. You won't call upon the wine and the beer to bring you peace. You won't call upon the drugs to bring you peace. God is so sure once you ever get a hold of his peace, you will call on him for it 100% of the time. And you'll hunger for him, and you'll thirst for him, and you will go pursuing after God.
Because that's what this verse is saying. You're going to do something. You're going to start calling. You're going to start reaching out. You're going to start seeking. You're going to start setting time aside for prayer. You're going to start putting God first. You're going to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You're going to start doing the things that you're supposed to do to get your peace. Because you'll realize God really meant what he said. Then you start doing something. God is so sure that if he could just ever get somebody's attention, if he could just ever get somebody to realize he really means business in your life, then you will do something also.
Hallelujah.
You'll start praying. And buddy, you'll start praying like you ain't never prayed before. Because it's almost like the more you pray, the more you get. He said he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's a fact. That isn't just a fairy tale. This is reality here. He said, you want to know me. You're going to want to know me. You're going to want to know me. You're going to call on me. And you're going to go and pray unto me. And you know what God said I'll do when you do this? Because he knows you're going to do it right. He's already sure you're going to pray. He's also sure that once you find out what it's all about for you, you're going to do your part. And then he says, and guess what? I'll hear you. I'll be hearkening unto you. And hearkening doesn't mean he just hears you. It means he's going to answer you. Because God says that he cannot hear the sinner's prayer. Did you know God says he can't hear a sinner's prayer? Well, we know that God heareth not sinners. What the word says. Because sinners pray a very selfish way. Sinners pray, give me, 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 give me. And they don't consider sin being a problem. God says your sins have separated you from me. Your sins have separated you from me. And really and truly, the person who thinks that peace comes from having stuff isn't really seeking the peace God's talking about anyway. Is that a truth or what? If you think stuff is going to bring you peace, if you think stuff in this earth is going to bring you peace, you are wrong. Just hit the gong button. Wrong. Wrong. If peace came through stuff, if peace came through money, that ain't what God's talking about. That is not what he's talking about at all. So verse 12 says, he says, I'm so sure of it. Once you find out about this awesome peace I'm going to give you, and I'm thinking about you, he said, then you're going to call on me. And then I will hearken to you. See, we got to come to him with a humble heart. The Bible says he is nigh to them that be of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. He said he is nigh to them that be of a broken heart. What's that mean? He means he is looking at the humble heart of a human being who's really seeking God. And look at verse 13. Here's some more for sure. God's so sure you shall call on me. But he also says, verse 13, and you shall seek me. Now, why would the Father God, Almighty God, say it twice? Why would he say, okay, you'll call on me, and then he says, then you're going to seek me? He says it two different ways, doesn't he? I would think, well, isn't calling you seeking you? Isn't calling on God seeking God? Isn't that seeking God if you're calling God? I think he's taking it to a different level here. I think what he is saying here, it's not just, hey, God, hello, like we call up our friends, right? We want to have a conversation, right? And we want God to answer every time, buddy, God, better you better answer me. But sometimes we don't feel like God hears us. Sometimes we don't feel like he is listening. And then we're moving into another level here of seeking. Seeking God. Seeking God. And he says, you shall seek me. You're going to do this and you're going to do that about this peace I'm going to give you. Then you're going to do something called seeking me. Seeking me. You know, I want to tell you this. This is what I believe. With all of my heart, I believe this. I believe there's different levels that we all move into as we walk in God, as we walk in the kingdom. There's different levels of knowing God. God's so big. And there's different things we do or we can do to get closer to God. Like your daughter shared about, she wanted to know God. How was it? Like Ezekiel?
Enoch.
Enoch walked with God. And Enoch was not. He wasn't found because he was translated. Now that's somebody that's going to do some calling on God and some seeking God. I tell you what, most people are very... Now, I'm not talking about anybody in here, okay? I'm just talking about human beings in general, myself included. The flesh always takes the easy way. Just know that about your flesh. Your flesh, my flesh, pretty much the same stuff. The flesh will always take the easy route. What's ever easier for the flesh? It'll never want to sacrifice. Oh, God forbid it ever give above 10%, if you even given that. God forbid. God forbid that you ever drive a few extra miles for somebody. Oh, God forbid. See, there's something called seeking that isn't just prayer. There's something called your actions are involved in seeking. You got to do something in order to seek for something. If you lose a coin in your home, you got to do some digging, don't you? If you lose something, say you lose a diamond ring. How hard would you seek for that diamond ring? We're going to do some more seeking for that diamond ring than if you lost a penny. Are you talking? You understand what I'm talking about? There's something called a level of seeking. And you wake up in the morning. You wake up in the middle of the night. I wonder where that ring is. You wake up at night. Oh, I wonder where that ring is. Man, I got to find that ring. For $1,000, I got to find that ring. You know, there's something called a nagging, a desiring thing inside you that wants you to find it. And once you find it, oh, praise God.
Yes.
Praise God, I found it. Isn't it awesome when you finally find that thing that's so valuable to you? This is valuable. God is way more valuable than any diamond ring. Way more valuable than any amount of dollar bills you could ever lose. God is very, very valuable.
Yes, he is.
And that's why he's talking here. He said, once you get the revelation about what I'm thinking, once you get the revelation about the peace that I have for you, and I'm talking peace beyond understanding, passes all understanding. You have never gone there yet. You ain't ever been there yet, but I'm bringing you there. I'm going to bring you into something called peace, utopia peace. And you're going to know it, and you're going to know you finally arrived. You're going to know when you finally do, because then you're going to stop sabotaging it every time you turn around. And believe me, you don't have room to be there anymore. Because once you get there, you find out there ain't nobody there but God. He's with you. Hallelujah. So we're going to do now our calling. God, and this is what I'm emphasizing here this morning, is God is so positive. If he can just get you into a revelation mode of knowing how much he loves you and how much he's thinking about you constantly, if you just knew the yearning and desire of his heart is so great for you, and if he could just get you to understand how much he wants you to prosper, how much he wants you blessed, how much he wants great things for your life, accomplish great things through you, change entire universes for you. I mean, you can set the world ablaze. A few men turned the world upside down because they began to call on God and they began to seek God with all their hearts. Lives were totally turned upside down. Countless thousands and thousands of lives were changed because a few people began to call and seek. Changes everything. But God is so sure that if he could just get that revelation over to you personally, just get that over to you, buddy, then you're going to do your share of calling like nobody ever seen before. You're going to do your share of seeking. God says you'll do it. You will do it. You will do it, Carlos, when you find out how God wants to bless you. You will see yourself. You will see yourself legal. You will see yourself rich. You will see yourself with cars, not just one car that's about to break down. You will see yourself with many jobs as you want. You'll see yourself with money in the bank. You'll see yourself prosperous on the level that God sees it. And you won't be sabotaging it either. I'm telling y'all a fact here. Hallelujah. God's so sure that once you ever get this revelation, you're going to start calling, you're going to start seeking. And the promise is, you'll find him. You'll find him, he'll hear you, and you'll find you. You'll find him. He'll hear you call, he'll hear your prayers, and he'll answer your prayers, and then not only that, you will find God. Amen. You're going to find God in a way, and you'll think, wow, it was worth the trip. It was worth the struggle. And let me tell you, you think the devil doesn't know this? You don't think Satan doesn't know what's on the end of the journey of your seeking and your calling? You don't think he knows what's on the end of your battle? He knows the victory is sweet. The victory is sweet. But you do have to lay aside you to do this calling and this seeking. You got to lay aside your wants, your wishes, and your desires sometimes. Now, yeah, God don't want you miserable on the way, but remember, the goal is peace. The goal is to walk around not feeling sad and gloomy and depressed and no hope and, oh, I'm just struggling to get through, and put on your happy face when you come to church and then take it off when you go home. I'm talking walking around in peace.
Amen.
The peace of God that passes all understanding. Hallelujah. Y'all ready for a little more? I'm just getting started. I'm just getting warmed up here. Galatians 3. Now, Jeremiah 29 was prophetic. Jeremiah was prophetic, and this is factual here as well. It's prophetic, but it's also the truth. It's a prophetic truth. Paul is saying to this church in Galatians, in chapter 3, he says, talking to Christians now, who know God loves them with all their heart, they know it. They know God wants nothing but awesome wealth and riches that'll be in your house. He wants you blessed. He wants you prosperous. He wants you in peace. You understand the word peace means shalom, shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Nothing missing, nothing broken. No, poor me, sad me, nobody loves me, in your mind. Totally wipe that out. That's gone forever. You'll never think like that again, ever again. You'll never, ever, ever think a negative thought again. Because in negativity, there's no peace. So you got to get rid of the negativity. That's a fact. If you want to get into this place that God wants to bring you into, you're going to have to get past negative thoughts. And you're going to have to do some warfare to get that done. Okay, so Galatians 3 is the question, talking to believers who know the peace that God's got for them. He's saying, are you so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? I just want to just stop here and ponder this a moment.
What verse is that?
Verse 3. Galatians 3, verse 3. Are you so foolish? Are you so foolish to think? Now, here's our thinking going on. Now, we've abandoned God's thinking. When you get like this, you've abandoned this thinking that God is thinking. I've given you peace, right? I know the thoughts I'm thinking towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you future and hope. Well, what he's saying here, okay, your thinking is pretty foolish. If you think that you can begin in the spirit and now your flesh is going to make you perfect. Your flesh is going to make you perfect? Your flesh is going to bring you peace. Your flesh is going to take care of anything. Let me tell you, your flesh is doing nothing for you. Your flesh will cause you trouble. Remember, it always takes the easy way. Have you suffered, verse 4, have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? Now, verse 5 said, he that ministereth to you the Spirit. Now, when I minister, as a called minister of the gospel, I am ministering by the Spirit. Because without the Spirit, I can do it. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't do it. And I'm pretty smart. I'm a pretty smart person, but I know I could not do that. I could not effectively minister. Oh, I could put, I guess I could talk pretty good and sound good, but I'm talking minister by the Spirit of God. You know the difference. You know when the Spirit of God is moving, if you're a Christian. Well, are you so foolish that if you began in the Spirit, did we all begin in the Spirit when we got born again? Yes, we did. Yeah. Where's the perfection coming from? Is it coming through your flesh? No, the perfection's going to come through your human spirit with the help of the Holy Spirit. So your human spirit, let's go back to the little chicken and the egg. The little chicken and the egg, something happened and is happening inside that egg. Something happening in there. You may not see it, but it's happening. I can't always see what's happening in me, but I can see it outwardly when things challenge me. You can start seeing things come along and you say, hey, I would have done that a few years ago, but I must be growing in the Lord. I must be growing in the Spirit. I must be Maybe my spirit is dominating my flesh a little bit here now.
Amen.
Because I would have run to that joint. You know, I was the biggest pothead you ever met, Darlene, and you were too. If you don't mind me sharing that. I don't think Darlene ever did nothing.
No.
Did you? But, I mean, you know, you put the stuff in front of me, honey, I'm there. Now, it's hard to believe, right? That's hard to believe, isn't it?
No.
But I got a hold of Jeremiah 29, 34 years ago, and I'm thinking, man, I like the peace I get here with this, but God began to reveal to me a peace that was way beyond, way out of this world, right? And you begin to realize, hey, how smart do you have to be? Do you want this or do you want this? You know, let's make a deal here, God. You're on the show floor, but let's make a deal. You can have that little tiny TV, or you can have the spectacular car. Like, man, as a no-brainer, man, I want the car. Let's go for the car. And so I began doing my calling, and I began doing my seeking. And I have found out and can testify, I've had some prayers answered, powerfully answered, and I have found God in my life. And he has changed me. And the greatest thing he ever did was he saved me from me. He saved me from me. But I began in the spirit, and my flesh did not perfect that. My flesh does not, your flesh ain't going to help you out at all. It's going to help the devil out. Your flesh will try to help the devil out, but it ain't going to help you grow spiritually. Hallelujah. So y'all got that so far, right? Okay, now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 1. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. Here's the Apostle Paul preaching and teaching and writing a letter to a church he established, and look what he says to them. He's the apostle of this church. He's the one who helped establish this church. And he's writing them, and he says, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Really? How many of us are still babies? Why? We ain't a bit more spiritual than a man on the moon when a why hits us. I tell you, this is me for sure. Something whams me and I want to go why. Something happens I don't like, why. I mean, you know what I'm telling you? You don't ever want no man coming to my home and bringing his clothes and thinking he's going to move in with me. I will deal with that. Bold. That's some bold. That's the devil's what that is. I mean, especially if I don't even like the guy. He don't even like this girl. Just move herself right in.
What?
I'm going to marry you. And bringing her clothes in.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure your flesh liked that now, Carlos. You got to be honest. Your flesh probably did like that pretty good.
Well,
But we're spiritual, right? We're spiritual. We're talking being a spiritual, grown-up spiritual being. I mean, you know, we're just human beings. We really are. But God is saying, you're spiritual. God is calling us spiritual beings. We're not human. We're human beings, but we are human spirits.
Right.
You are a spirit. You possess a soul, and you live in the body, and you are being changed from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. It's a process. This growing thing, there's growing pains. What happens when that little baby chick finally starts getting feathers inside that egg? Well, it's time to peck itself out of there. It's time to face the world, right? There's a time in your Christian walk when you can't be a wah-wah anymore. You can't be a crybaby anymore about every little thing. And you got to start taking responsibility for your old stinking flesh. And you got to go back to number one reality. God is on my side. God is for me. And all through the scriptures, if God be for you, who can be against you? Amen. Nobody. Nobody can successfully be my enemy. I don't care who tries to be my enemy. They are not ever going to be successful because they're really trying to be the enemy of God. And you think that's going to work? How's that working? You want to be God's, you want God mad at you? Uh-uh. I mean, he happens to throw lightning bolts. You know what I'm saying? He can throw lightning bolts. I don't want God on my, I don't want to be on God's bad side. Well, you don't mess with his children. Well, if God be for me, who can be against me? Well, nobody, they can try, but it ain't going to be successful. Hallelujah. So Paul is making a statement here, and this came to me this morning. I'm thinking, you know what? Paul couldn't even talk to them on the level that he wanted to talk to them on. He couldn't even talk to them about supernatural, powerful things that God had planned for them because they could not hear it. They still were still in diapers spiritually, and they were still nursing the breast. They had never been weaned. They had to still be babied and coaxed and carried and, you know, so tender. Life makes us tough, does it not?
Amen.
Makes us strong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go now to Philippians 2. Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verse 13. This is some good news coming your way this morning. You began in the Spirit, and you're not going to be perfected by your flesh, but you will be perfected by the Spirit. You will develop and grow by the Spirit. And then he says in verse 13, this is a very powerful verse, that you can know is your verse. This is your verse. You make this, you put your name in front of this. And he's talking to us this morning because this scripture is what I knew the Lord wanted me to say. He wanted me to share this. And he's saying to us today, for it is God which worketh in you. It's God's plan to perfect you. It's God's plan to bring you into shalom, shalom, perfect peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. It's God's plan to show you how rich he wants you to be, how prosperous he wants you to be, how wealthy he wants you to be, how, I'm talking perfect peace. I mean, nothing missing, nothing broken. I would that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. That's 3 John verse 3. God wants you healed. He wants you whole. He don't want you sick. He don't want nothing bad for you. Nothing. I'm talking nothing. Remember, he thinks of zero evil. Nothing bad. Don't plan it. Thank God it in your, it's not in your future as far as God's concerned. It's not in your future for him. So he's saying, and God's working in you to bring this to pass. He said, it's God who's working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Well, I showed you what the good pleasure of God is. Peace, peace. Shalom, shalom. Wealth and riches shall be in your household. Mm-hmm. I'm expecting wealth and riches. Are you expecting it? Because I know God is. Mm-hmm. I know God is. God is expecting that. But you got to do the praying and you got to do the seeking. You got to do the calling and you got to. But he says, I know you'll do that. Mm-hmm. You're going to do that because you're going to have a revelation of this. And I said, Lord, I just want you to bring something to us. Put us in the right direction because God has nothing but good things, and he's actually promised that he'll work in you to bring. It's God who's working in you. What do you think brought you to church this morning? Not what, who brought you here? I know I did, but God did it. God did it. God prompted your heart. The devil didn't bring you here. And if you really want to be truthful about it, your old flesh didn't really want to come either. So there was something working in you to get you here so you could hear this divine appointment word for you this morning. Life-changing word. God's word is powerful. It's powerful. Okay, let's go to, I'm getting ready to wrap it up. St. John 6. St. John 6. 63. You see, I want to hear from God as much as anybody. In fact, sometimes I think I want to hear from God more than anybody. Sometimes I think, am I the only one praying, God? Then I know I'm not. Do you ever feel like sometimes you're the only one that loves God? I love Him so much, I feel like my heart could burst sometimes. And it's the love of God that constrains us. It's the love of God that really keeps us on the go. Verse 63, Jesus made the statement, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing." Now, I know I can trust Jesus. I know I can trust what Jesus says, right? We know that. Okay. Do you know Paul wasn't around to hear Jesus say this? Paul wasn't around. He wasn't walking with Jesus when he spoke these words. But did he not say that pretty much to the Corinthian church and to the church in Galatians? Did he not put that in a letter about the Spirit? The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and your human spirit. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. If you just had another hour, because I've been hearing from God this week about how powerful the words of your mouth are if they come out of your spirit. Negative things can come out of your spirit. But the words, Jesus said, I speak, they are spirit words and they are life words. But how could Jesus make such an emphatic, factual statement about his words? How could he possibly know that every single word he spoke was spirit words and life words? How could he be so sure that he never talked negative, that he never talked death, he never talked defeat, he never talked anything but life? All God ever talks is life. Because he's got nothing evil in him. And all he can talk is life and good. He never taught. And Jesus said, those words I'm speaking to you, they're spirit words. Now, if you ever get over to the place where you start speaking spirit words, and you can say what Jesus said here. See, this is my goal. My goal is to be this way. That the words that I speak into you, they are spirit and they are life. That's divine. That is powerful. That's being a very spiritual person. Because you see, the Bible says the flesh profits nothing. Your flesh ain't going to get your bills paid. You're worrying and fretting and complaining ain't going to get nothing done. It's the Spirit that quickens. It's the Spirit that creates. It's the Spirit that's going to change everything.
Amen.
It's to charge your atmosphere in your home with spiritual things. Words of life. Jesus is, he's the way, the truth, and the life. You can charge the very atmosphere, or you can negate. There's positive and negative, right? Wow, did I ever learn some things about my mouth. Your mouth, life and death really is in the power of the tongue. And your tongue has power. I used to quote that completely wrong. I used to say that the power of life and death is in the tongue. No, it's the life and death is in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And I don't care what kind of fruit you're eating. It could be yuck fruit or good fruit. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. 100% of the time, Jesus always spoke life. He always spoke life. And before we go, I'm going to go to James. James chapter 4. And then we're going to... Whence come wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members, your flesh? You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you can consume it upon your lust. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do you think the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But God giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Now I'm going to stop right there. About the flesh, that's the working of the flesh in your members, and we all have to deal with it. Every single one of us. But as we walk in the Spirit, the Bible says, you won't do the works of the flesh if you're walking in the Spirit. The Scripture even says in Romans 8, which I don't have time to go into, but they that are led of the Spirit are the sons of God. You understand? So when he says here, God giveth grace, he gives more grace. Now I want to go back to this verse in Jeremiah. Because you don't think you can serve God? I'll beg your pardon. You don't think you can walk in this peace and get there and find it? You will find it, he said. You will find it when you search for me with all your heart. You will find. You will find. And even if your flesh is giving you the worst trouble in the world, he gives you more grace. I needed more grace than somebody that's nice, sweet, and kind and gentle. Because I wasn't any of that. I had more problems with my flesh than anybody. I was a mean person. And I mean, I was just tough. Some of us are tougher. You know what I'm saying? No limits is what I'm trying to say here. If you just get a revelation how much God wants to bless you and help you in life, then you're going to do your part. You're going to pray. God's positive you will. And you will. This grace is available to do it. I've always known that God was going to provide for me everything I need. But I now hear God saying, go into deeper things. Mm-hmm. Start seeing yourself lavishly wealthy. Right. Yeah. Really? You sure I can do that? Are you sure I can? Yeah. Never another boring day. I mean a great day. Every day a great day. Every day a blessed day. Walking around and knowing that the devil is under your feet 100% of the time. That you're not out here fighting the devil. That you've already got, your revelation is the victory.
If we just believe it.
Jesus said, you're going to tread upon scorpions and serpents and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's the goal. That's the goal and that's peace. See, God knows we got a devil to deal with. God knows we got stuff to deal with in this life. And yet, he's still going to bring us into this utopic peace? How in the world? Because you can do it. I don't have time to go into anymore, but maybe tonight I'll share because I got quite a few more notes here. Y'all been blessed?
Amen.